What can God do tonight? I think it's going to be one of those nights. I tell you, we had conference last week and it was just absolutely life smashing and life giving. But, you know, during the week, also I know some people got smashed because you made some incredible decisions to cross some lines. But, you know, we are in a battle. You know, the victory is ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. We are in a spiritual warfare, and life, when you give your life to Christ, I was 15 when I gave my life to Christ in 1970, and I know I don't look it, do I? Anyway, it's the husband that I married that keeps me young, yeah. But firstly, before I get into the message, I want to honour my pastors. 2003, we came and did a conference. And we were asked to come and minister to the children, of which some are in the room. And there was a mud monster there. So they had a mud pit for the kids. Awesome! I know, Des Bowman was the mud monster. He was in the mud pit, all covered in mud, roar, just loving on the kids. The boys loved it. The girls were like screaming. Mia, you were too young. Yeah, you weren't. Bianca, your sister, was there. Awesome. So, hey, anyway, tonight's message is about living your best life. The day I gave my life to Jesus was the beginning of my best life. It was the beginning. I was 15, angry, abused as a child, molested as a child, angry, hateful, wanted revenge on certain people. And a guy came to my Catholic convent girls' school. Has anyone been Catholic before? You should try it. It's amazing. The nuns let him in, right? So there's 500 girls sitting in an auditorium. And this guy called Steve Ryder had just been saved in prison. And so he got out of prison and the nuns let him in to speak to 500 girls. And he brought two youth with him. Yeah, what could go wrong? Oh, it was a good day. So he brought two young people with him, peers of our age, and he spoke about God and he spoke about what Jesus has done for us. But it was when they spoke, the same age kids speaking about how they loved God and how they'd given their life to God. And I'm like, flip, is this real? Like, I religiously wanted to get to God, but I never thought I was good enough. I did all the rituals, did all the things to try and get to God because I really believed that God was real. But everything about religion is death, and it was just like a smokescreen. But when those young people spoke, it was like straight into my heart. And I thought, if this is real, I want to know more. And he set it up. He put out the net. He was fishing for souls. I'm fishing tonight for souls. And he put out a net and he said this, if you want to know more, come to the library during recess. So I didn't talk to anybody. I just went straight there. My girlfriends, seven of us went. But then there were 80 girls that day who heard the gospel for the first time, that Jesus is the Son of God, like Pastor John said, that he came to forgive sinners. Oh man, I knew I was a sinner. That he saved my soul and that I could have eternal life through Christ's salvation. He said, who wants that? I'm like, phew. And then 80 girls responded. The nuns responded. Some of the priests responded. And there was revival. The Holy Spirit, Jesus movement started and I was crazy. Anyway, that's another story. Crazy for God. And so that's what God's looking for. Some radical, responsive young people. That's why Brendan and I live. Not everybody's called to children's ministry. Not everybody's called to youth ministry, but I tell you, we can get on our knees and cry out for the next generation. Every one of us can get on our knees. And I believe at the end of the service, there's going to be some tears and I'll share my tissues with you. Because praying for the next generation isn't fluffy. It's a cry. Anyway, I'll get there. I spent the afternoon in tears. I thought I was done. Psalm 145. This is the word of God, people. It's the word of God. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Can we lift a praise? A praise isn't just noise. A praise is a thankful heart that cannot be silent. A thankful heart that has to declare. Because look at the rest of the scripture. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. You think you know God? I'm sorry. I haven't got a clue. Really? The angels in heaven tonight are holy, holy, holy. And he's revealing more of his glory to them. He's awesome. You know how we say, oh, hey, you're awesome. Awesome belongs to God. It's awe. It's wonder. Don't ever lose your wonder for God. I want to know you more. When I walk outside and I see the stars in the sky, I walk outside and there's a bright moon and today the sunshine. When it's raining, God is the creator of all things. And he created you. He created and designed you in your mother's womb for his purpose and for his expression of who he is. The church is an expression of who Jesus is. It's not about one person, it's about all of us collectively being who God designed us to be and celebrating each other, our gifts, our talents, our weaknesses, our flaws. Everything about us is worth celebrating. Our stories, Jack, your story is worth celebrating. Thank you for sharing it. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Everyone say power. God is not a wussy God. He's not a distant God that we have to be all religious and try and get to. God is powerful. And he wants to demonstrate his power in and through your life. In and through your life. However, he wants to do that through you. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. God does miracles. In 1996, I was healed of cancer supernaturally in the waiting room, waiting for my treatment. Supernaturally. The power of God was tangible. Fire from my feet to my head, from my head to my feet. The fire. And I'm like, poor, what's going on? I'm so hot. And the Holy Spirit. What was that, Brennan? That's my husband. What's that? Because you're so hot. He had hair when we met. Anyway, hair is overrated. Isn't it, Josh? Yes. Sorry. Oh, sorry, Josh. Two Joshes in one. Boom. Sorry. Excuse me, I'm preaching the gospel. Just quiet. So, my demonstration tonight, I wanted to do a little demo. All right? Okay. Do it? I can't hear you. Okay. So, is there anyone here that's 70 plus? 70, mate. Okay, Des Bowman, you're it. Up, you're up. Come on, Des. Come on, give him some encouragement. All right, I'll have you over here, young man. Thank you very much. Yeah, he likes the young bit. So obviously a generation isn't 10 years, but for my demonstration, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, 60 to 50. 50 to 60 age. Oh, let's have Linda Frecker. My gosh, she never volunteers for anything. You know what I'm saying. Oh, to be in the spotlight. Sorry, that's my girlfriend. Okay, 40 to 50. I need a fella now. Okay, Micah, let's have you. 30 to 40. Come on, eager. She's so eager. 20 to 30. Oh, Alex, come on, let's go. Yeah, Bozy. What's that, Bozy? What does that mean? Oh, that's his name. Oh, okay. What did I get, 20 to 30? Let's do 15 to 20, just for the sake of having more amazing people. Come on, beautiful. Miley? What? Have I missed 60 to 70? Okay, let's do six. Of course, you're too young. 60 to 70. Come, Joey, you're up for it. Come on, Joe. Woo! Okay. Go, Joe. And to represent all children on the planet, we have Leo. Woo! Let's go, Leo. Woohoo! Do you know he sings? Oh, no, I'm not going to make him sing. No, but he's been in musicals and all sorts of amazing things. That's beautiful. So the deal is this. This is my Bible. It's full of truth. It is the truth. Oh, you want a picture? Got it? Okay, sorry. I'm a buffhead. I just can't help it. Hi. That was the Dracula's days. But we're not talking about that, Pastor John. The Word of God, one generation shall declare your works to the next. I want you to think of one sentence that you can tell the next generation to spur them on, to inspire them to live for God. And we'll pass the Bible. I am going to trust you're going to pass it along. And I'm going to trust you with the microphone. One sentence.
Scripture?
No. Doesn't have to be a scripture. Just a thought to encourage, inspire. Come on, give them a clap. They're freaking out. You ready? You're going to talk, huh? How long can the sentence be? Des Bowman, just make it quick, but inspired.
Get the church, keep coming to church.
You are a masterpiece and you were born for such a time as this.
God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today and forever.
Come on. Build your life on this.
You will meet a God who has loved you since before the day you were born and will love you until the end of your life.
Do not let your young age discourage you from doing the great things God wants you to do.
Pray every day.
I know that you really want to say something. So, you don't? Do you know Mrs. Morris, she's in kids' church tonight. When you go back, can you go, am I allowed to say what's going on in her? Maybe not. No. Tell her how amazing she is. All right, off you go. Bye. Give them a big clap. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Oh, was that all right, Pastor John? Am I going to get a gig again? I may not be asked again. Sam Brady was in Kids Church when I was Kids Church pastor. And here he is in the house. I know it's not about me. It's about the house of God. I had that much to do with his life. But when he comes and talks to me and he says, thank you, Pastor Kathy. I was a kid in your kids' church in that room over there. I'm like, oh, fill me up. Talk about it. This is this message about reaching the generations. I've got a list of young people that are sitting here tonight. Nicholas Hickman, you always come and give me a hug and tell me, I got filled in the Holy Spirit with you, Pastor Kathy. Does that sound like him? And then there's you, Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh was a young man when he was alongside me. I was a kids pastor and youth pastor for 1 year. And we had quite a large youth ministry until I took over. And because I was like, no more games, no more licking ox tongues. You can't make me do that. No more head banging, no more ambulances. We're going to take communion. And we're going to come to the cross every week. So anyway, I shrunk the youth group. But I used to go and have supervision with Pastor John, and I'd say, I'm killing the kids. And he's like, it'll be all right. Sorry, did that sound like you? No, nothing like him. Sound like Nick. But I look at you and your wife and your children in the house of God, loving us, leading us. You are so wise. I'm not shocked, but, you know, you were a youth. You were a youth. What am I trying to say? I'm not saying that youth aren't wise. Because, you know, Christian youth, the Bible talks about, are wiser than their elders. Because why? They're in the Word. Christian young people devour God's Word. Don't they, Gemma? Gemma was 3 or something when I met Gemma Pierce, and she was in my kids' church. And I had a flashback of you being in my Kathy and the Kims. Do you remember that? So Kathy and the Kims were kids in ministry. So Gemma would come with me and a group of other kids, and we would go into creche and lead the babies and the little ones in praise and worship. And I remember Gemma, we'd gather outside the creche door and we'd do a huddle and we'd pray, God, move. And the little, like, 5-year-olds are going, move, use me, God. Fill me up, God. I'm about to minister. And in they'd go and lead the kids in praise and worship. Then we'd have a post-huddle and we'd be like, glory to God, glory to God. Jesus showed up, and it was like the 70 that Jesus sent out to go and heal and deliver and loose the captives, and they came back rejoicing. And it was like that. And I just look at the fruit, and I could talk about many of you. Oh, Hannah. Hannah's getting married in a month to that man next to her. That man, that amazing man, you're so blessed, both of you. May the Lord bless you in this marriage. It's just going to be fruitful in so many ways. But Hannah was how old? She was 11 when we would do our conferences here for kids. And she's told me tonight that she got filled in the Holy Spirit with that conference. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a generation of young people apprehended for the call of God. No, Rod, I haven't even started. Okay, we will do that tie after church. Thank you for inviting us. Okay, right. All right, go ahead, Mr. Spirit Fingers. God will move supernaturally on the generations when we move towards them. If that's all you remember tonight, because that's my first page, we're singing, we need a move of God. And we do. And God moves and He heals, sets captives free. But who's He going to move through? He's going to move through you and I as we move towards the generations. I'm a lifer. I'm called to reach children and youth for the rest of my days. And do you know what? They don't care how old I am. They don't care how old I am. They care that I want to be with them and that I get them. And I'm so thankful for my 3.5 years as a chappie at the Meriden State College, of which I'm still leading the prayer team, their prayer, and the kids reading their Bibles. The principal asked me, would you come back and pray in our school? I think so. Gemma came this week. Finlay, who's in the wheelchair that comes in the morning, is in that group. He got saved in that group. We baptized him. And now he's a member of our church with a mission from God. Don't underestimate what you see in a wheelchair. You know Sam, who was at Alpha tonight, wasn't he? He is so hungry for the living God. He's not asking for his healing. He's not asking to get out of a wheelchair and be free of cerebral palsy. He's asking God, what's your purpose for my life? And his mission, he told me, was to help people who are just like him, disabled. I know. It's breathtaking. What are you asking God for? To rescue out of a situation that might be difficult. But you know, rescue often comes when we move out of our comfort zone and we move into somebody else's space to help them and deliver them. I don't know how many times I've led worship over the nations and I've been in pain or headache or something's gone down at home. But God's like, will you praise me through this? Will you sing for me through this? I've been healed and set free in my service to Jesus and my service to others. And you are his. You belong to him. So the generations, we've got to tell them. We have to reach them. We must love them to Jesus, whatever it takes. And in a little while, I'm going to open up this space for us to get on our knees and to not to cry out for our needs, but to cry out for the Red Frogs University people, the ones that we're going to feed breakfasts all over the coast, the ones that are sitting in darkness that need to see a great light. You are that light. I am that light. Jesus said, let your light so shine before others that they may see the Father and declare his goodness through our good works. For the things we do for our community, for the text we send. I remember we were working in the inner city of Melbourne, gosh, in the 90s. God spoke to our pastors and Brendan and I in a moment like this and he said, will you reach the children of your city? And we just had a yes. We didn't know how. And so our pastors, we prayed. And then he announced it to our congregation. And 12 people responded to jump on the team, 12. And so we came together. I was the project manager. And God just didn't tell us what we were to do. All we knew to do was to meet every Saturday for 3 hours and pray. And the prayer was very, very snotty and very, very raw. We were bodies weeping and wailing for the children of the inner city of Melbourne. Most of those children, parents were on drugs. I've got a picture of a family, a young girl who was 11 when she met us in that outreach. Her name is Candace. I spoke to her during the week and I said, I'm going to tell you a story. Is that okay? And she said, yes, please. Her mother was a heroin addict. And so we would do our outreach. After we prayed for 3 months on our face, the Lord gave us a plan. He said, put on a show in the parks where the kids were. So we had a show. We had the speakers. We had everything we needed. And Candace was 11 and she came to me and she was just a little beautiful young little girl, but the pain in her heart we got to know. So anyway, she gave her life to Jesus and would come every week, and I was on a visit home roster. So the team, we would visit the children in their homes every week. We got 1,000 children gave their lives to Christ. So 500 every week we visit in the high rise, start at the top of the high rise, work our way down, knock on the doors. No one objected. All the kids gave us their addresses. There was no objection. It was like, it was open heaven. And so I'd knock on her door and it'd all be dark. Anyway, one day her mum and she and her brother started to come to church. We'd pick them up and they'd come. And mum was being evicted one Sunday. And Brennan and I looked at each other and we went, we'll bring them home. So we brought them home. The next day, Brennan went and got all their things and they moved in. Mum was still addicted to the drugs, but she was getting, you know, help. And she was in church and she was seeking God and she was looking for help. And so after a season, after a time, mum said, I'm done. I can't do this walk. It's too hard. But can you keep my girl? Because I don't want her. So we kept Candace. We put her through school. And when we moved to Sydney, she moved up and she lived with David, our son-in-law and daughter. And we started to travel the world because God opened the world to us. Today she's married. Can we show the other? She's married. She's got two beautiful children. We caught up with them about 2 months ago in Melbourne, and they're tracking well. Do you know the starfish story? You can turn that off. Thank you. The starfish story is there was a boy on the beach and there were hundreds of starfish being washed up, dying on the beach. And this little boy, he's picking up starfish and throwing them back into the ocean. And then the guy comes along and says, what are you doing? You can't save them all. And he picked up a starfish and he threw it into the ocean. He said, well, it was worth it for that one. And so my story with Candace is, and Candace is one of hundreds of children that God has given us the privilege to minister to love, and to help them to find Jesus. So right now, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you, because you are that starfish. If you have not been saved, some of you have never been in church before. This is the first time you've been in church. And yeah, we're all peculiar people here in this church. But one thing is true. We have the assurance of the forgiveness of everything we've ever done wrong. It's called sin. And so when you bear that before God and say, I'm sorry for my sin, I repent, I'm turning and going the other way, I want to walk with you, Jesus, He comes to live in your heart to save you and to give you new life. And then the journey begins. We're a church that lives for this moment, to offer you the opportunity, like Jack, when he was at church and he responded to this call. If you're here tonight and you know in your heart, there's a tugging in your heart, you might be thinking all sorts of opposing thoughts, but in your heart, something's saying, you need to do this. You need to respond. I'm going to pray a prayer. The prayer won't save you. Your belief and confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and your confession of your sin, repenting, will bring the presence of God to come and live in you. That's what the Bible says. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead, you will be saved. And you confess it in your own mouth, through your own mouth. So as I look around the room and I'm asking you, if this is a moment and you say, well, I've never done this, but tonight I'm making a decision right now, or if you're just not sure if you are saved, but you love God, you want assurance that you're going to heaven, then on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you, put your hand up. We'll pray together, all of us in your seat, wherever you sit. I'm not going to ask you to come up the front. So let's do this. One, two, three. Put your hand up if you want to join this prayer of salvation and give your life to Christ. Yep, yep. Was that a hand? Thank you, Jesus. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else want to join in this prayer? These young men. Just put your hand in the air. Just say, that's me, Kathy. That's what I want to do. I want to make Jesus my God. All right, let's pray this together, everyone in this place. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to save my soul. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died, you rose again. I believe that you are the Christ, the Savior of the world. I turn to you. I turn from the devil and all his works. I give my life to follow you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone that's declared that tonight and even in the past. Lord, it's a fresh declaration of your goodness and your power. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.